This is the SermonCoach.com podcast with Dr. David Maynes. Hi, I'm your host, Dean Wilson, and we welcome you back. We're talking about pastors and how to help pastors preach effective, life-transforming sermons. So, David, be honest with me, will you? Not long after a minister starts to preach a sermon, as a listener, have you ever found yourself thinking about something else?
Have to be honest, huh?
Yeah, I want you to be honest.
I think probably the answer is no. I listen very closely to sermons, and I very seldom wander. Part of that because it's impossible for me not to analyze what's going on. There have been times that I will wander, but it's usually further into the sermon after I've given up. Usually the guy's got me. Now, he can do some things that will cause me not to listen or make me frustrated, but I would say that I listen pretty carefully, although I'm also observing the congregation all the time. And I'm very aware that there are people in the congregation that blank out. Last Sunday I was watching, and the gal, she was probably teenage, was right in front of me in the pew, and she was texting. So I knew that she was not listening. And I thought, now, if I were preaching that sermon, how could I make sure that she's not going to text, but she's at least with me a little way? So
capturing the attention at the beginning, at least for you, that works pretty well. Part of that is you're analyzing all the time.
That's right.
And I might say picking up examples to use in a variety of ways, including these podcasts.
That's possible, too. So maybe I'm not the best person to ask. Huh?
But probably the introduction, the grabbing of the attention of the listener is a key thing that a pastor has to do. Are there some no-nos when it comes to sermon introductions?
Oh, Dean, I got a lot of no-nos, okay. I would say that quite frequently, I travel a lot. Most people are hearing the same minister Sunday after Sunday, but I'm on the road a lot. Sometimes I'm actually the one who is preaching, so I always think I'm wonderful, you know. But yes, I would say never start with prayer. I don't like it when people say, before I start to speak, I'm going to pray. Because I think that praying, you know, it's fine, but at the same time, it's not as interesting as just jump right into that. I don't like that as an idea. I don't like to start with reading the text because I don't think the text is always the most interesting thing. People know most of the text, and when you read them, they're not read in a most interesting way. So I would say save that text to use it in a more interesting way. I know a lot of ministers, and some who I think are very good speakers. One I'm thinking of is a college president. He's a very good speaker, but he always starts with these random comments. And he talks for maybe 3 or 4 minutes, tells how well he knows the pastor, tells where he's been traveling and all that. Then pretty soon he'll finally kick into high gear and begin go. But I wish he'd get rid of all that type of thing. It just bothers me. And a lot of guys do that. I like to hear a guy who just stands up and bang, he's right into it. I also saw with you a thing on television recently where the minister started with an unrelated joke. That just bugs the liver out of me. And I don't like it when people do that, especially if the joke is not connected. If the joke connects with what's being said, then it makes sense. But just to start with a joke, that's not my preference. It kind of demeans a little bit the weight of what you are as a minister of God. But if that's the routine of a person, fine. It's not my liking very much. The one that's the worst of all, as far as a no-no in my mind, is to start with an announcement. I know one pastor, he always would start his sermon by saying, one of the announcements I wanted to stress was, and it's kind of like, I'm not sure what I'm going to say in the sermon. I know what I'm going to say about that announcement. So at least I will say that, and it's a way for it to get started. But I think most of the time, these are times when a person doesn't have a good introduction that says, I'm going to grab your attention immediately so that you are with me and riveted for at least the first part of what I have to say.
So there are definitely some no-nos. How about
those are Maine's no-nos, okay?
Okay.
I don't
well,
know if they're
fair.
God no-nos or not.
It's your brain we're picking, so you can have Maine's no-nos.
Okay.
So let me reverse the question. Are there some Maine's yes-yeses, the things that ought to be done in an introduction, the basics?
I think the introduction ought to relate to the subject that you're going to be talking about. Almost always I would say that. And they ought to immediately capture the people's attention. Now, what is going to do that? I was talking on 1 Peter 5:8-9, which is, look out for your adversary, the devil. He goes around like a hungry lion. I started a poem by Ogden Nash says, the panther is like the leopard, but he isn't peppered. When you see a panther crouch, prepare to say, ouch! Better still, when called by a panther, don't anther.
Cool.
So it grabs you. Well, then I said the same philosophy is basically what the Apostle Peter says, only in a far more profound way. When an angry, hungry beast, a panther, a lion is after you, look out. Let's go to the text. So anyway, to me, that grabs you right away. I think that a question sometimes will get people to follow with you. Here's a question. I started a sermon this way the other day. Do you think Jesus had a sense of humor? You know, and then I say, I think he said some very funny things, and then went on to it that way. But I think I engaged the people right away because they usually think of Jesus as saying very deep devotional thoughts, you know. But to have a sense of humor, then to illustrate and so on, I thought that was good. Starting with a story is always a good idea. I've used stories recently in the Sermon on Revelation. I started with a story of Dietrich Bonhoeffer and his martyrdom and so on. I found that one of the best ways to start in terms of a story is with a children's story, because the children are the ones that are hard to grab. So one of my favorite authors is the writer of the Frog and Toad series. Did you read the Frog and Toad story about, you know, and I had everybody, I was amazed I could get them, you know, if some way you want to be able to grab your people right away and get them into that subject. So that's what you want to do. It's the introduction to show them that you're an interesting speaker and they want to listen to what you have to say.
Okay, that's the principle. We want to grab their attention. Any other specifics we should look at?
That's enough for right now, okay?
Okay, that's fair enough. How about the biblical text? Can we take a look at a biblical text, come up with the answer to the four questions, and then brainstorm several ways to introduce the sermon?
Oh, I like brainstorm. That means you're on the hook as long as, just like I am. Okay, let's do it, okay? I picked a text, all right?
All right.
This is Luke 12. You will recognize it immediately. We'll try to say what's the subject response, how to, how long, and then how do we get into this? Okay, I'm going to read it to you. As soon as I do, you'll say, know it, I know it, I know it. Okay. He told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he says, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. Okay, pretty simple text, huh? Mm. Okay, so what's the subject?
Well, the subject is there's certainly a warning to not store things up for yourself and treat God in a way of poverty.
Okay, so, you're getting more response on that.
Okay, so.
Wow. I'll help you.
Okay,
I'd say the subject is riches, true riches.
Okay.
Does that sound fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. And so the response that you want is not people to be like the fool and store up false riches, but to store up riches toward God. You're going to have to define what riches toward God means, because the text doesn't do that. But anyway, we know what you want to do and what you don't want to do. How do people do that? Well, again, we're going to have to get into specifics. How do you store up riches toward God, as contrasted to storing up material riches? And so we're going to have to figure that out. And how long is that going to take? Well, it's going to take a good period of time to set up those good habits. Now, the question that we're most interested in, and I realize that I went over that thing of the how-to, and we didn't really say how do you do this, but I don't want to preach a whole sermon. The big thing we're talking about is how do we get into this subject quickly so we grab people's attention. Okay, so I haven't thought about it ahead of time. You haven't thought about it ahead of time. We're talking about the rich fool, and that's the passage. So just real fast off the top of your head, how would you get into it?